Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and that's Marilyn Hickey, and I'm thrilled that she's here, and I'm glad that you're here. Let's go.
Let's go for it.
I mean, this thing, it doesn't take a pen, got long enough to do what we want to do. I want to read this scripture, Marilyn Hickey.
Yes, sir.
I remember the first time we were... I came back into, back in those days, our meetings were, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And we came back, and my office, I didn't have an office. My dad's was helping me in his office. And I walked in, and he just handed me a little, most young people don't know what these are. But it was a little strip out of a calculator, strip out of a calculator, $5,000, and it was red. And he just handed that to me. So I walked into his office, and I turned his chair around and got on my knees and put my Bible up in his chair. And I turned to the scripture. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily. You get two verilies. It means to listen up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And then I went to the Amplified. Whatever you ask and believe it's, no, whatever you ask in my name, it will be granted you.
Yeah.
I thought, this is a heavenly grant of $5,000. And then I flipped over to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Glory to God. I believe it's granted. I believe I receive it. It's mine. That $5,000 just come jumping in there. And I thought, this is a bird nest on the ground. Glory to God. I mean, yeah, this is the easiest thing I ever saw in my life. I said, Gloria, we can take this in the agreement scriptures. We can do anything God calls us to do. And we did.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I know, I want to hear about your asking God to give you China and taking Bibles into China. I'm especially interested in this because I've been there, and I want to... When was that? When did you go
there? Well, I first would have gone, oh my goodness, probably, I want to say in the 80s, 88, 89, someplace in there.
I went in the 80s.
So I had such a passion for China. Because when I would pray over China, I just had a heat in my heart.
Yeah.
And so I met a man who did Bibles out of Hong Kong into China. So I began to help him with Bibles. And then I wanted to go to the underground church. Yeah. See, this is Mao Zedong, all of that mess with communism is so bad. And so he said, I can get you in. But, you know, it's not going to be a real soft spot. So I went to another province, and they smuggled me in. So I wore a scarf because they had a lot of Russians. And so I had to cover my hair and look like a Russian. So I went in, and they had 150 pastors who came in to be taught the word. Now, Kenneth... They spit on the floor, you know. I mean, some of these things people think are such a picnic. It's not the Ritz-Carlton.
No.
And so they would spit on the floor, you know, so on. So then somebody came in to read the meter, you know, in the house, and they didn't want them to see us. So I had our assistant pastor with us, and I said, get on the floor. Who wants to get on the floor? They're blowing their nose on the floor. They're spitting on the floor. But what do? You get on
the floor. That's what you do.
Right. And they didn't catch us there. But it was one of the most unique experiences of my life because a woman had just gotten out of prison, and her face glowed like Moses. And they threw her in prison for, you know, passing out Christian literature, praying with people, and so on. And so they put her in there, and so they tried to shock her, and she wouldn't shock. So then they tried to starve her, and she gained weight. And she won the whole prison.
Oh, glory to God.
To Christ. I have
people need to understand this, too, Marilyn. They count it a badge of honor to go to prison.
They do.
They don't count this as a wrongdoing.
No, they don't.
And they just, man, this is an opportunity, like what Marilyn was saying. This is an opportunity to preach. It's an opportunity to do miracles. And the people that we were with, the man that was responsible for bringing us there, not too long after we were there, he went to prison. And he won his appeal, and they kept him in prison. He won his appeal again, and they kept him in prison. He won his appeal again, and they kept him in prison. They didn't care. Just keep preaching. And finally, they just finally figured out, we need to get rid of him.
Because he's getting the prison
saved. Yeah. So I got a call from him. And they don't use that. I never knew his name. They took biblical names so that, you know, people don't know who they are. And he called me and he said, Brother Copeland, this is John. I said, John, how wonderful to hear your voice. Where in the world are you? He said, I'm in Dallas. I'm going to Christ for the Nations.
Oh,
these people believe
how
God.
Wonderful.
I'm telling you, you just show them something in the Bible, they take it. Hallelujah.
And we smuggled thousands and thousands of Bibles in because they didn't have Bibles. And they would take pages out and hand copy them to have a part of the Bible. I mean, that kind of thing turned me on. But I believe right now in China is one of the biggest revivals going on. And it's probably all underground. I don't know. I think the three self-church that the government approves of, They have Christians, no question. They're born-again Christians. Also, they have spirit-filled Christians in them. I don't know how the government is with them now, but I tell people, pray for China, pray for India, you know, because these are the largest countries in the world,
you know.
So pray over them, because if you want to get the most people saved, get the biggest nation with a revival.
Absolutely.
But I love China. I've probably been in China 29 times.
Oh, my.
Oh, I love China.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I told you, I'm yellow inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we started early. And see, I think, again, process with God. You know, you start praying over nations because I got around Frieda Lindsay. Then pretty soon God begins to send you to one of them. And then pretty soon he begins to use you in one of them. And financially, and all those things go with it. But I have to tell you something hilarious. The first time I went to Pakistan, I was lacking $30,000. And I stopped in Indonesia. I was invited to speak there. Spoke at a church. Didn't tell anybody anything. I'm getting ready to leave. The next day, they're taking me to the airport to go to Pakistan. I'm lacking $30,000. And so, you know, I'm sitting in the lobby waiting for them to pick me up, and a man was there, a businessman, and he was Chinese, but he spoke English. And he said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Pakistan. I'm going to have a healing meeting. And he looked at me. Now, remember, I don't know this man. He said, do you have enough money? Wow. And I thought, I don't know this man. I said, well, I'm lacking $30,000. Well, he said, you're not now. And he opened a briefcase and gave me $30,000.
Praise God, Marilyn.
Now, this about God is so last minute that it's scary.
Yeah.
But sometimes he is last minute.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gloria was reading just a couple of days ago some things to me out of the book that we published on John G. Lake's life.
Oh, man.
And this is what they experienced back there then, when there were no communications like we have now. But they if God said go, you just go. And you're standing there on the dock without enough money to get without enough money to get in the country. And somebody walks up with it.
I know.
But you don't say, well, as soon as I get the money, I'll go. You'll lose it like that. It just doesn't work that way, Marilyn.
No, but what it does, your faith is so precious. It talks about precious faith. So you go back and you rehearse what he did back there.
Yes.
And he did this there, and he supplied this there, and he opened this door here. And so you rejoice in what he has done, so what he's going to do now. So I want to tell you about Pakistan. They get so ugly with me when I go back there to get visas. So, you know, I've got to have the visa because I've got to leave on Sunday, and they haven't given it to me on Friday. I've had people there earlier to get the visa. Well, we'll get it, but they don't get it. So here it is Saturday, and I'm to leave, and the place is closed, and they called at 2:30 and said, we're going to open and give you the visa. You know, I think, do we always have to do things last minute? Oh. And most of my visas on these real serious places have come at the last minute.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've had experience.
You've had that too. You understand.
Not as serious as it is in those Middle Eastern countries, but in South American countries. You run into that kind of thing.
So all these, it's just, you know, again, if you're going to do something, you're going to walk in faith. But I have found this personally. You go from faith to faith.
Faith to faith.
Faith to faith.
Yes, you do.
There are some countries I'm praying over. I have not been able to do anything in, like Iran. Those are Shiite Muslims, you know. And they just say, no, you're not going to do it. But I am.
Yes.
Before I die, I will have a healing meeting in Iran with an imam.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yes,
I believe
why
that.
Not?
I
if we don't believe
that.
For these things, we'll never get
I
them.
I agree with that.
Yeah, thank
in
you.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, what reminds me of Oral Roberts again.
Yes.
I mean, there wouldn't be enough money there. And because Oral operates the same way we did. I mean, money just came through the ministry. It, you know, it just flowed through. And that the Lord would talk to him about building the building. He never waited till he had the money. He'd go dig a hole.
Yeah.
If money enough to dig a hole, dig the hole.
Yeah.
If you didn't have money enough to dig the hole, dig a little hole. Start something. I remember, Marilyn, we were on our way to the venue in Oklahoma City. And I was driving. And he, as you know, he never spoke to anybody on a meeting.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's very quiet in the car. We're just driving along. I never could read in a car. I got to look outside.
Yeah.
He'd get in the car and do this.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately. And he would, all of a sudden he said, Kenneth, I jumped about that high. He said, people will always tell you you can't do it. He said, find out the will of God.
Mm.
Then confer no longer with flesh and blood and get your job done at any cost. And picked up his Bible and went to reading again. I'm going, one, two, three. I got to remember this, you know. I wrote it all down. But that's the key.
Yeah.
Where you ask, you go into the Word and you pray and you seek God and you begin to find out, I'm supposed to go there. I'm supposed to go to Pakistan. Now, you don't jump up and do something bold without knowing that. You don't do that. And you don't go asking people if you ought to go to Pakistan. They'll all tell you, of course not. They'll kill you over there.
Right.
But when you find out that's God's will, then they can't kill you. And if they do kill you, you're a martyr. So what do you care?
That's what I tell the Lord.
And you just, then that's when you dig the hole. Because you got the Word of God on it. Then you get it done at any cost. Glory to God.
Right, 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 right. If you walk by what you see, you'll hang it up. And if you walk by timing, you know, like with Sarah, you know, I didn't get pregnant until I was in my mid-30s, you know. And so, and all the doctors said, you can't have a baby. So if you walk by that, it's just not going to be
cool.
No,
it never would have happened. No.
You just walk in faith. And I think...
Fear is the enemy.
Yeah.
Fear is
it
the
is.
Enemy.
It's the big enemy.
I'm thinking about your situation, and the average woman would have said, hey, I'm running out of time here. I just guess it wasn't God's will. I guess it cost you. She would have never been born.
Yeah.
Don't quit when you know the will of God.
That's right.
Exactly. And be careful who you listen to. You need to stay around faith people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are people that I can go to and say, I'm believing to go into this nation. I'm believing to have this many people. They'll believe. But there are people who would say, you're getting too old to travel. What's your problem? And they'll say to me, when are you going to retire? And I say, I am retired. What do you mean? You travel all the time. I said, retiring is doing what you like.
Yeah. That's right.
Do what you like.
You retired years ago.
I did. Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So I think claiming nations and faith things, it was a process. I didn't jump from one big place to another big place. It just took time to take a little, take a little, take a little. And even with television and media, now we have so many other ways that we can get
the
people to,
that
is just out of this world. So you're constantly looking for more ways to reach people because God loves people.
That's it.
And I think, again, how to win. You don't give up. Thanks be unto God who always.
Always.
It's not over till I win.
That's right.
Yeah, and I haven't won yet, so I'm going to win.
Glory to God.
Right, right.
Hallelujah.
So when we look at the world now and the opportunities that we have now to reach people. So I'm going to go back to something in Hungary, okay? Because people are going to say, oh, well, you don't do anything in Europe. Yes, I do. But I remember, this is a long time ago, Sarah would have been young, maybe 5-6 years old. And a man sent me a letter, I didn't know him from Joe Schmo, and he said, if I could get you into Hungary to do a Bible encounter, taking people through the Bible, seeing Jesus, would you go? And so I didn't know this man, and you know, I haven't traveled that much. And so I prayed about it. And so I felt like God said yes. So I said, yes, I would go. So he said, well, I have to contact the pastors, they're under communists. So he writes back and said, they said, no, they don't want you to come. You know, I said, well, ask them again, because I still feel led to go. See, you got faith is stubborn. So they said, would she ask you to pray about it again? They said, okay. So then they did, and they said, okay, you can come. So I came, and this was under communism. And we had like 700 people who came.
Praise God.
And a lot of people got saved that came in that timing and got Spirit-filled. Now, listen, now they have a church of 180,000.
Praise God, yes,
one of the biggest churches in the world.
Yeah.
But look at the process. So see, if they had invited me at 180,000, you know, man, I thought, wonderful. But you have to think wonderful when it's 700.
Just because you get the opportunity to go.
Exactly.
That's where the excitement
Exactly. Comes. And seeing the people that were saved. And of course, they became real good friends. So
now
I know.
You always run the risk of a reputation of being a real pushy woman. I am.
I am. I don't doubt it.
Yet. When you know.
Yeah.
When you know.
Right.
That isn't pushy. You just don't take no for an answer.
You know that God wants you to go.
An assignment. And an assignment, and you're in my business, is a mandate.
Yeah. That's good.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
And so I don't care who thinks I'm pushy. I'll be smiling about it and nice about it, but I'm not going to quit till I get in there.
No. Same here.
And the more you do that, now, If you do that and you don't get results, then you're pushy. You're just a stubborn old man that's wanting his own way. But when you know what you're called to do and you're supposed to do it there and you have a job to do there, then you begin to press and you're going to get maybe one no after another, but you just keep pressing. You just keep pressing. And that door will open one way or another. And then when the results come, you're no longer pushy.
Yeah, then you're wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful? And before it was, that's a pushy old man.
And, you know, my husband thought I could do anything. I mean, I think that's such a wonderful thing.
Yes, amen.
He never said, I don't want you doing that. You know, but let me tell you something funny. When I would come home from these big trips, you know, he never wanted to hear about the meeting first. He would say, you know, we're out of groceries. You know, you need to do the laundry. And then he'd want to know about the meeting.
Then he wanted to know about the meeting.
So, interesting how the process of your mate and your family. Now here is Sarah. She has such a heart for missions, Bangladesh especially. Now Isabel, my granddaughter, she has a heart for missions. So she said, you know, Mimi, God has called me to go with you. I said, I didn't know it. Well, she said, I'm telling you.
Pushy little granddaughter.
Pushy little granddaughter. Where'd she get that anyway? Yeah.
Thank God she is.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
So we affect our children.
Yes.
You know, they talk about generation blessing.
Yeah.
See, what is on the head is going to come down.
Absolutely so.
And maybe, you know, like I have a son, we have an adopted son that just out of sync, got into drugs, everything. But now his family are getting in sync.
Yes.
Takes a long time. And you know,
but you don't give up.
You don't give up. It's not over till you win. And so I went back to see them. They're back in Ohio. And really had a good time. And I'm on the way home on the plane. I'm crying. I said, oh, God, you're so good. You're so wonderful. I'm crying. And he said, why are you crying? You prayed every day. Yeah. We don't give up.
No, you don't.
We play till we win.
You pray till you win.
You win. Right.
And we're out of time.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.